Hey there, Peanuts fans. Welcome to the Og Blog Podcast. Today's guest host will be, well, it's me, Nat Gertler, the same host as always. This isn't one of those fancy podcasts where there's someone to fill in. I guess I could do it in a different voice, like my friend Eddie from Chicago. But I guess it'll have to be me. As I mentioned on the blog the other day, another publisher has just announced a new edition of the classic Peanuts book, Happiness is a Warm Puppy, to be released this coming winter. And that got me thinking. Happiness is a Warm Puppy may have been a little book, but it was a big one in many ways. It didn't just sell big, although it most certainly did that, with 40-some weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. It had a big impact, and continues to have a big impact. Happiness is a Warm Puppy is what we now know as a gift book, which is a book that is generally light on text, high on image and design, with a sentimental nature. Gift books, as the name suggests, are meant to be good gifts. If you haven't seen Happiness is a Warm Puppy, well, first you should. If you're enough of a Peanuts fan to be listening to this Peanuts podcast, you almost certainly will enjoy this little 1962 book. The format is pretty simple. As originally presented, it's a 5 1/4 inch square hardcover book, published using colored paper, with each spread having a saying about what happiness is on the left page, and an illustration of what is being said on the right. Happiness is sleeping in your own bed is illustrated with Linus snugly gathered under his quilt, his smiling head on a nice pillow. Happiness is getting together with your friends shows Snoopy standing on top of his doghouse, with a quartet of pre-Woodstock birds standing beside him. It's a sweet little thing you can read through in a few minutes. And it's important in the history of gift books. I'm not an expert in such things, so take this statement with a pinch of salt. But as best as I can tell, it is, if perhaps not the first such gift book, the thing that made gift books popular in America. Made it a market. Now, possibly I'm wrong, but I really haven't seen signs of such things before then. The term gift book was around, but what it described was different. There were books that might make good gifts, but they didn't have the purposeful slightness of the gift book of the past half century or so. 1879's The Gift Book for the Young was 4 times the length of Happiness. 1863's The Marriage Gift Book and Bridal Token was 5 times. The book that describes itself on the full title page as The Lady's Wreath, a selection from the female poetic writers of England and America, with original notices and notes, prepared especially for young ladies. A gift book for all seasons by Mrs. Hale, author of Northwood, Flora's Interpreter, Traits of American Life, etc., is 6 times as long, and no, that's not all taken up by the title. These books are different. The modern American gift book tends to be aiming to be the one perfect rose, the item that can be appreciated quickly. So if I'm right, and I could be wrong, the book had a big impact in that way. Now, the book itself has had a lot of editions. There have been paperback and oversized leather-bound editions, an expanded and re-illustrated edition. The original one is better. Redesigned covers, miniaturized, translated into various foreign languages, even into Braille. But that's not really what I'm talking about. And there were a chain of sequels to it, as Charles Schulz put out things like Security's A Thumb in a Blanket, Christmas is Together Time, and Happiness is a Sad Song. And those have had many of the same reformattings as the original book had. And there was even a big, thick edition that tried to gather all these books into one, although I think they work best as separate items. And even the title had a lasting cultural impact. After a magazine tried a humorous riff on the title by declaring that happiness is a warm gun, John Lennon picked that riff up and turned it into a Beatles song. Bang, bang, shoot, shoot, indeed. But what fascinates me as a collector of Peanuts books, and more importantly in this context, a collector of Peanuts-related books, are the other books that took what the Warm Puppy book did and ran with it, either in parody or in just swiping its instantly famous format. Perhaps the best known of these is 1965's Happiness is a Dry Martini, which is credited as being written by The Tonight Show host Johnny Carson. And he may have written most of it. I'm not sure. He certainly seemed to be capable of it. But he definitely gives a credit for a writing assist. In the book world, sometimes those credits are just what they say, thanking someone for a small bit of assistance, and other times they are a hidden acknowledgement of the person who actually wrote the book that a celebrity slapped their name on. Now, Happiness is a Dry Martini was ably illustrated by Whitney Darrow Jr., one of the great cartoonists for the New Yorker magazine. I am told that while this book was being developed, Carson would read some of the lines from it on The Tonight Show. Happiness, according to this book, with such things as discovering the giant plant that you gave your mother-in-law for her bedside table is a meat eater. And the picture is of an oversized Venus flytrap about to chomp down on a terrified woman in bed. Or happiness is sitting down to watch some slides of your neighbor's vacation and finding out he spent 2 weeks in a nudist colony, with a picture of several men watching a screen which displays an image from Camp Carefree where a group of shapely, naked women are playing baseball. Or maybe it's softball. I can't see the picture's motion, so it's hard to tell. Carson and his assistant, actually this time two, Tonight Show writers Walter Kempley and Edwin Weinberger, and artist Whitney Darrow Jr. did a follow-up to this in 1968. Misery is a blind date. There we learn that misery is going on your honeymoon, and the motel employees toss a welcome back party for your bride. And also, misery is a sexy girl dropping her handkerchief. And when you bend over to pick it up, your toupee falls off. Not all of them are male-centered. There are ones about misery being caused by your husband. But the book does reflect a fair bit of Playboy era in its viewpoint. Oh, and if the name Edwin Weinberger being listed as an assistant caused your ears to perk up, yes, that's the same Edwin Weinberger who went on to co-create the TV show Taxi and to produce a number of other shows. Now, the Carson ones started coming out in 1965, so these weren't the first ones out of the gate. And the earlier ones had a bit more sense of satirizing the Peanuts books rather than stealing the format. 1964's Sadness is a Back View tried to capture the square format and the color sensibility of Happiness is a Warm Puppy, something that the Carson books did not try to do. In this book, by Sandy Breyer and children's book author Bernard Wiseman, sadness is an alarm clock. Sadness is trying to touch your toes. As this was a 1964 book, it's actually influenced some by some of the Peanuts follow-ups to the success of Warm Puppy. The cover design is actually based on Security is a Thumb in a Blanket, running its title four times on the cover on the north, south, east, and west edges. But that wasn't the first one. The earliest one I've been able to find is one published in 1963, the year after the release of Warm Puppy, by a company called Canrom. Now, you might hear me mention Canrom from time to time in other contexts. I had an interest in them before I found any Peanuts connection. Canrom was a publishing line started by stand-up comedian Jackie Cannon and a guy named Alexander Roman. That's the Can and Rom of Canrom. It was largely a 1960s publisher of almost all comedy. I've only found one exception, much of it bawdy, and a fair bit of it Jewish. And in 1963, while Happiness is a Warm Puppy was still on the sales chart, they released a book, Happiness is a Rat Fink. Now, Rat Fink is a Jackie Cannon term. He named the stand-up comedy showcase he ran the Rat Fink Room. Canrom published Rat Fink magazine. It seemed to be his term for a sly bad boy. The naughty, nasty, triumphant rebel we believe ourselves to be. And after starting off this book with Happiness is a Warm Puppy doing it on someone else's lawn, it gets into very rat-finky territory. Happiness is your wife, who doesn't suspect a thing. With a cartoon picture of a happy-looking man nestled between two shapely, naked females. Happiness is having a night out with the boys and spending it with the girls. And it shows a couple of men playing strip poker with a couple of buxom ladies, who are, at the moment, losing a hand, it so appears. Looking back at this, it has some reminders that not all topics are as new as we thought, such as happiness is your son marrying a boy of his own faith, which, while it may have been trying to draw a laugh from the basic idea that homosexuality exists, doesn't shy away from it. The text for this is written by Rochelle Davis, who did a lot of work on Canrom books, both writing and editing, much of it under her married name Rochelle Larkin, which, after her Canrom days, she would use while writing everything from children's books to bodice rippers. The art is by New York Times and New York Review of Books illustrator Ken Rinchiari. I'm just guessing how that's pronounced. And that was Canrom's first foray into such a book. But Canrom, they don't believe in doing things, they believe in overdoing things. Canrom once released two cartoon books about Jewish women running brothels in the same month. Two totally separate books, different creative teams and everything on that very specific theme. And the first of those books had three sequels. So it should not come as a surprise that, still in 1963, Canrom also released Unhappiness is a Dirty Dog. It has a completely different creative team. Writers Robert Pernicki, Peggy Hurley, Don Hochstein, and illustrator George Botish, who is now known more for his architectural paintings. But is at least slightly a sequel, in that some of the gags in this book are callbacks to gags in the prior one. With this, you'll learn that unhappiness is driving into a hotel and seeing your wife driving out. Or unhappiness is your name mentioned in the Kinsey report. And Ken Rom's third foray into this format, yes, they went back for a third time. I told you they believed in overdoing things. Anyway, the third time wasn't until 1969, by which time the genuine Peanut series of books had run its course, with the last of the original run, Supper Time, having dropped in 1968. This book was Insecurity is Better Than No Security at All, written by Francine Green, Adrian Kitaev, Rochelle Larkin, Tippi Larkin, and Joan Slomanson, a mostly female team, with only Rochelle Larkin being a name that I recognize from other Canrom publications, and Tippi Larkin being the name of both a then-retired boxer and a trumpet player. I'm trying to figure out if it could possibly be either of those guys. With art by cartoonist Bill Lee, who was a regular in the magazine circuit and had several unsuccessful forays into newspaper syndication. The book is more interesting as a snapshot of the moment than as a humor piece at this point. For example, there's a spread where insecurity is having your favorite bar closed for catering to homosexuals, with a drawing of a suit and tie guy looking shocked as the police focus on him, apparently having been unaware that the limp-wristed, flower-shirted man next to him might have served as an indicator that this was a gay bar. The book came out in the same year as the Stonewall Riots in New York, a key point in the U.S. gay rights history that arose from a police crackdown on a gay bar. I've not yet been able to figure out when in the year the book was released. It would be interesting to know if it predated the riots. Now, Insecurity is Better Than No Security at All would have some sort of an afterlife, but I'm still trying to find out what. The table of contents of the May 2002 Penthouse lists a feature of this name by cartoonist Bill Lee. I don't know yet if that was some sort of reuse of this material, or whether Lee just recycled the title. Now, if anyone has a copy of the May 2002 Penthouse lying around, let me know. Don't worry, I forgive you for actually having interests beyond Peanuts. Besides, Penthouse and Peanuts, you probably just kept your interests alphabetical in order. I understand, they're close by. Now, and even though the publisher, Canrom, was in the process of sputtering to a close, that would not be the last time they did a Peanuts parody. However, the final one is not a parody of the Happiness is a Warm Puppy format, but of the strip itself. So discussions of, oh no, Charlie Green, will have to wait for another episode. And speaking of other episodes, that's all for this one. Got ideas you want covered in future episodes? Send them to questions@augh.com. That's AAUGH.com. The same place where you'll find the blog that is now the basis for the vast Augh empire. And until next time, may all your warm puppies be genuine, not parodies. May your favorite gay bar not be shut down by police. And may all your griefs be good ones.